From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Yasmin Ammer, in this week for Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where home prices have skyrocketed during the pandemic. But in some other parts of the state, that housing crunch is far more dramatic. On parts of Cape Cod and on the islands of Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard, people moved to these places to escape COVID, but that's created a dire housing crisis. WBUR's Consider This producer Wilder Fleming recently traveled to the vineyard, where the already limited housing stock has all but dried up, and he joins us now to talk about it. Wilder, it's so good to talk to you in front of the mic. You're usually behind the scenes. You've been behind the scenes this week with me, kind of directing the show. It's nice to hear you.
Hey, Yasmin. I like being behind the scenes, but yeah, this is kind of fun too. We're giving it a shot, and it's very nice to be on with you.
Okay, and so you visited Martha's Vineyard, and it sounds like the locals there, they're really struggling to find or keep their housing.
Yeah, so the year-round population on Martha's Vineyard had been growing for years. According to the 2020 census, the island's population jumped to over 20,000. That's up from just 14,000 in 2010. So the supply of affordable housing there was already stretched thin even before the pandemic hit. And then, of course, in March 2020, COVID hit Massachusetts, and that effectively turned what was already a very serious problem into a full-blown crisis. And this is in part because people on the mainland who own summer homes out on the island decided to move there full time to escape the worst effects of the pandemic. I spoke with dozens of people on the vineyard for this story and found this really broad consensus among everyone that they've never seen anything like it before. And here's one of them.
The housing crisis that we face and we've continued to face, which is now escalated because of COVID and the increasing property values, has made it at critical mass.
That's Cheryl Andrews-Maltese. She's the chairwoman of the Wampanoag tribe. Their ancestral lands are in the town of Aquinnah, where the year-round population grew by more than 40% over the past decade. Andrews-Maltese and others told me some people have been sleeping in their cars, sleeping in friends' backyards, even camping out in the island's state forest.
There's no year-round housing, absolutely. Only a couple of towns have maybe one unit, and it's weekly rental or for the month. So our tribal members are being forced to move off the island, and not just our tribal members, families that have lived on the island all their life, and some for generations.
That's really horrific. It's just pushing the locals out. And so Aquinnah is just one of six towns on Martha's Vineyard, and as I understand it, they're experiencing this problem in all of the towns, right?
Yes, absolutely. All of the island's six towns experienced double-digit growth over the past decade. And so now, some combination of those several thousand summer residents who moved there full-time because of COVID, and private entities buying up properties to rent to vacationers, and then, of course, other wealthy newcomers buying homes for themselves, all that means the median home price soared to $1.3 million in 2020, the first time it's ever exceeded $1 million in Martha's Vineyard's history.
Oh, $1.3 million, that is exorbitant. That is just an insane price for a median price.
Right? So anyway, all this means there's just about nowhere for locals to rent in the off-season. So, and I should tell you, there has traditionally been this housing dynamic on the vineyard known as the island shuffle, quote-unquote, the island shuffle. It's where locals move into more expensive housing in the summer months to ride out the tourist season, and then they rent apartments or homes for much cheaper during the off-season. And so people on the island told me that this island shuffle has basically ceased to exist. And that means no more cheap or stable fall, winter, or spring rentals, unless you're very, very lucky, or maybe you know someone with stable housing who will let you crash with them for a while.
So Wilder, you've talked to residents on the island. What are they saying they're going to do?
Well, Andrews-Maltese, the Wampanoag chairwoman I mentioned earlier, she says a lot of people who grew up on Martha's Vineyard are deciding to leave the island for good. And I spoke with one of them.
You know, before maybe we could still dream of being able to afford a teardown at $400,000. But now a teardown is $900,000.
That's Nuavake Knight. She has lived on the island her entire life. She's one of five children, raised by a single mother in Vineyard Haven. And Nova, as she goes by, she says she and her husband, a painting contractor, have been thinking about moving somewhere more affordable for years. But this surge in new residents and housing prices amidst the pandemic has convinced them it's time to go. Up till now, the Knights and their toddler have been living rent-free on the summer estate of a Manhattan family. That's in exchange for managing the property and managing the family's affairs. Knight admits they lucked into a very good situation, and she really appreciates it. But she told me that depending on the goodwill of other, frankly wealthier people to have a place to live just isn't a long-term housing solution in her eyes.
This system kind of feels like a gilded cage these days. So we can't really, you know, make enough to do anything but work.
So now the Knights have put money down on a house in Western Massachusetts, where, of course, the cost of living is much lower, and Knight will be the last of her siblings to leave the island. And then for those who are trying to stay, life on the island is just becoming untenable in many other ways. Teachers, healthcare workers, and other professionals routinely turn down job offers there because they just can't find a place to live. Wait times run months for some essential services, think plumbers, auto mechanics, even veterinarians. And remember, this is an island with a lot of working farms on it. And I even spoke to the Edgartown Fire Chief, Chief Alex Schaefer. He told me they had to build bunk beds in the fire station this past summer because several of his volunteer firefighters had to move away, and now they commute back to Edgartown to do their shifts, and they need those bunks for a place to sleep.
Yeah, so as we're finding out, it can't just be rich people sustaining a community. And we have been talking about rising home prices forever, but, you know, this is exorbitant. And I want to know, does it feel more urgent this time? Like, what are they going to do about it?
Yeah, that's a great question, Yasmin. It feels way more urgent at this point. As you said, people have been highlighting and working on this problem for years, but now it's like everyone on the island, and frankly around other parts of the state, are waking up to the fact that this situation is just completely untenable. The momentum seems to be there in a way it just wasn't before. One of the many people working to address the issue is Laura Silber.
When the median home price goes over $1 million, things change permanently. And it's, you know, it's heartbreaking. And it is the end of an era.
Silber is part of a broad coalition to create a Martha's Vineyard housing bank. This coalition, is working with groups on the island and around the state. And they're basically trying to put an additional tax, just like 2%, on high-end real estate transactions. And then that money would go back to fund affordable housing projects in communities. And there are actually two bills in the state legislature right now, and even if one of them passed, it would enable towns around the state, not just on Martha's Vineyard, to start housing banks of their own. You know, but regardless, Silber has a warning for the rest of the state.
The islands are like the canary in the coal mine. I would advise other towns in Massachusetts, like, please don't wait till your median home price gets to $1.3 million, because you have so many fewer options once it gets here.
And, you know, even if that housing bank legislation passes on Beacon Hill in 2022, communities probably wouldn't see any results for several years.
Meaning that a lot of people will move off the island by then. Wilder Fleming, thank you so much.
Thank you, Yasmin.
Wilder Fleming is the producer of Consider This. Before I go, here's what else is up. Healthcare providers across Massachusetts are submitting pre-orders for the pediatric COVID vaccine. The orders were due by noon today. Chloe Campbell is the medical director for Pediatric Associates of Greater Salem and Beverly. She says most parents are eager to get the vaccine for their kids, but others are hesitant.
So the first thing I tell them is that I vaccinated my own children, and that converts a lot of people. Then the next layer is speaking to what their specific concern is.
Pfizer's COVID vaccine is expected to be approved early next month. In other news, Logan Airport workers are pushing for higher wages. They rallied at yesterday's Massport board meeting. They say the pandemic forced job furloughs and reduced their hours, and some fear losing their homes. Boston City Councilor Lydia Edwards told the board that the workers need a raise to survive, and Massport can afford it.
It did receive almost $50 billion in pandemic government aid that was to keep the doors open. But at this moment, when we're talking about workers being able to stay in their own homes, we are stuck at the $15 at the state minimum wage and need to catch up.
The 1,400 unionized workers handle baggage, clean cabins, and provide wheelchair assistance for passengers at the airport. And here's an interesting trend. Researchers say the pandemic has led more experienced teachers in wealthier districts to quit in higher numbers compared to less experienced teachers in disadvantaged districts. Andrew Bakker-Hicks is with the Wheelock Education Policy Center. He's an author on the report.
In essence, it's sort of closed part of the turnover gap between more and less affluent schools.
And finally, the world's premier rowing event, the head of the Charles Regatta, is back in full force this year. The regatta is set for this weekend. The event was held virtually last year because of the pandemic. This year, there are more than 2,200 entries for the head of the Charles. And it is so exciting. It is a 2-minute walk from my house, so I'm basically going to spend my weekend there. And maybe I'll see you. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Yasmeen Ammer. Paris Alston will be back behind the mic the first week of November. Hey there. A lot of people listen to Consider This at the end of the day, and NPR's Up First in the morning. But a lot of actual news happens in the middle of the day, and the team bringing you the best information about that news as it happens is the team behind WBUR and NPR's show, Here and Now. And yes, there is a podcast version. So, want more of the best news reporting from public radio around the country? Check out Here and Now. Find it in the same place you found this podcast, wherever you listen. Just search Here and Now.